You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You hear Francis Albert Sinatra. That means you're on the third hour of the least award-winning talk show in the history of Tucson. Chris DeSimone and this thing called Wake Up Tucson. I have the very award-winning Matt Neely on the other side.
Good morning.
Welcome and thank you for all your help today. You've been amazing and we were feeding you cookies, so that's a good thing.
Thank you, Donna.
And good morning to Ken and Donna Cousineau. How are you doing, guys?
Good morning to you. We're doing great.
Thanks for the oatmeal cookies.
Baked yesterday.
Matt is he's a happy camper with his filthy pirate coffee and his cookies.
She took them out of my private reserve.
Oh, my Lord.
Now I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Sorry, Ken.
Ken's going to have to live with disappointment. It's our cookies. It's our cookies now. Good morning to both you guys. And got to know you, of course, through our great friend Betsy. And, of course, you are devoted listeners to the show, which I appreciate. Thank you very much. How long have you guys been in Tucson before we get to talk about your honor flight situation?
Full-time since 96.
Okay. And where are you guys from originally?
Nebraska.
Nebraska? I don't know anybody from Nebraska.
I'm an alum from university. Yeah.
So how's your, I hear Bill and Betsy grumbling about this football team. What's your take on the football team, Ken?
Well, it's his first year as head coach, and we see some improvements, but it's not like it was under Devaney and Osborne. And
I haven't heard that before. And when you guys were younger and raising a family in Nebraska, what'd you guys do? What was your occupations? What business? What'd you guys do?
Well, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and then I retired and became a new car dealer in Omaha, Nebraska.
Beautiful.
And had a partner, and we had 8 new car franchises, and we were the Jim Click of Omaha at the time.
That's awesome. What was the name of these dealerships?
Baxter Chrysler, and then we each had our Anderson Chevy, and then mine was Cousineau's.
Okay.
So.
Very nice. And then retired to Tucson. How about you, young lady?
Well, I'm originally from Kearney, Nebraska, and I did join the Air Force and served 28 years as a nurse, and was thankful that the main reason I joined, I was young, was travel and see the world, and I was able to do that. And then my last assignment took me to Omaha, to the SAC area, Strategic Air Command off it, and I retired there.
Where did you two Air Force kids meet?
In Omaha. Both of our first spouses were deceased, and we met in Omaha and got married 36 years ago.
Wow, congratulations.
It's gone by fast.
It is.
And Donna gets upset with me every time I say it, but she was a command nurse at Strategic Air Command, and she had 25 hospitals full of nurses.
Wow. Well,
it was great. I was experienced in most of these nurses. It was their first time being a chief nurse, and so I was able to help them and give them some advice and listen to them, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a great job.
So you guys went on the honor flight, which was, what, 3 weeks ago? Did that feel 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
Well, it was the Veterans Day weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. And so how did you guys get involved with being a, I guess you were guardians on the flight?
Or no, we were the veterans.
You were the veterans.
And unfortunately, both of us are retired Air Force, and so we could have our kids with us. So Kenny was, my son, was my guardian, and Kim, the daughter, was Donna's guardian.
Gotcha.
And then to top that off, we had Margo with us, so we had our family and extended family.
That's amazing.
There were 66 veterans, and it was, we had talked about it for some time, and we had looked at possibly going on the April flight, but Ken had had some surgery, so we decided to wait, and so they said, well, we'll put you on the November one.
So let's do this. Matt, let's go to break, and then you guys brought your itinerary, and we'll walk people through, and let's talk about some of the special moments that you guys experienced when you did the honor flight over Veterans Day weekend. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 8:15 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice. Tomorrow's show, U.S. Congressman David Schweikert, followed by U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs, followed by the Tucson Boys Chorus, who has their Christmas concert coming up on the 16th. And Matt is sitting on a big fat wad of tickets, I think, to give away tomorrow. So that'll be a very, very fun show tomorrow. We're hanging out with Ken and Donna Cousineau, two Air Force veterans that went on the honor flight with each of their kids, which had to make it super terrific special for you guys to do honor flight with your kids. So tell us opening day. So you fly to D.C., right? You go to bed. Is that how this works?
That was on Saturday. We flew on a chartered Southwest flight. And so it was nice. It was very direct. And we went into Baltimore. We stayed in Baltimore.
I'm sorry again.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that.
That's a hit on Baltimore, Donna. But, sorry.
We stayed at a hotel right nearby and had dinner that night and kind of got to meet some of the people that were on the flight with us.
Awesome. And so you woke up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah. We had a buffet breakfast and we did have
itinerary, please. Thank you. Appreciate it. So so you got up in the morning and that's always my thing. What Margo has always told me is you have this group of people who are in their anywhere for what between their 70s and 90s, right?
On right. The flight. 96 was the oldest on this one.
And the enthusiasm to get going and doing these things, it seems to be it's like this mildly superhuman thing that these men and women are doing. Because they're so excited to be there. Did that ring true to you guys?
That's true.
Yeah. And there were two World War II survivors and about, I think, 7 from the Korean War. And then the rest of us were from the Vietnam War.
Okay. So what the first thing that you guys hit was, I guess, after breakfast is you just basically did hardcore memorials.
Oh, yeah.
One after the other.
I think it was 9 that day.
So Navy, World War II, Korean, Lincoln, Vietnam, lunch.
Was at the Women's Memorial.
Oh, the Women's Memorial. Okay. So talk about the first memorial you rolled up to, which was, it looked like World War II memorial, with your two World War II vets. Talk about the feeling of walking up to that that thing.
It was fantastic. First, I'd like to say that the people that put this honor flight together, they're all volunteers, and their heart is so out to just make sure the veterans are 100% taken care of. We couldn't bend over without someone there to help us. So I really like to shout out to Dan and Ed and Brian and Margo and Cheryl. What a fantastic group you are to put the effort that you have for our veterans. And then to the memorials, the two Army vets, I think both of them were at least 96, and it was like tears come to your eyes to see them at their memorial because they were part of World War II, and it was just awesome.
I think the most emotion probably was at the Vietnam Wall. Yeah. Hopefully most everyone that's listening has seen the traveling wall when it's here sometime. When it's here fairly often, I think. But anyway, you stand there and you look down the long line of the marble slabs with the names on there. 68,000 or more on there. And they're put on according to the year that they were deceased. And you just... It's just heart-wrenching to think that many were lost in this event.
What were you going to say, Ken? Sorry.
Fortunately, our names weren't on it. I did have some friends' names on it, and that was important to see it again. I've seen it several times, but to see it again, it's great.
Yeah, we remember seeing the one veteran over to the side, because a lot of them were in wheelchairs. The Honor Flight people have a never-ending supply of wheelchairs. Right. And their guardian was really helping them because they were quite emotional about it all.
Yeah.
But everybody just kind of, you know, were just quiet and very observant of things.
So talk about Vietnam being such an unpopular military conflict, right?
Yes.
Not coming home to adulation or, you know, any sort of hurrah. And then just kind of, you know, a lot of these guys and girls have kind of been living with this for decades, and then they come to a moment like this. Talk about it for you guys, because you were there, you lived it.
Yeah.
Talk about from the moment of coming home to going to the wall, I guess.
In 1972, when I came home in San Francisco, first of all, we had short haircuts because we're military, and so they knew who we were right off, even though we were told to change into civilian clothes as quick as we could. We still got spit on, which was terrible. But then going on the honor flight and coming, even when we left Omaha, they watered down the airplane, just an honor to say thank you. Get to Baltimore, and they water down the airplane saying welcome. We walk into the terminal, and people there just lined up, little kids, Boy Scout uniforms, waving their flags and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. What an awesome feeling that was. That fact put a lot of tears on us.
I bet. How about for you, coming home from...
Well, mine was, you know, as a nurse, it was medical air vac, and... So it was bringing all the young men back, and we would fly. I was stationed in Japan. We would stage out of the Philippines and leave like at 3 o'clock in the morning and fly into Vietnam and load up our C-141 plane with up to 40 litters and 40 ambulatory people. And there were two nurses and three medical technicians to take care of them on the flight into Japan. And then I was on a segment where we would fly from Japan to the East Coast and to the West Coast, bringing him home. And that was most interesting because we could spend the flights, those flights were all 6 to 8 hours, and we could spend a little bit of time with each of the young men. And, you know, they didn't complain. They were, you know, they maybe had amputations and serious injuries, but they just did not complain. They were so glad to be going home.
So for you, being in that situation with all of these injured and then sometimes dying soldiers, how do you deal with that? What was your coping mechanisms dealing with that wave of misery coming at you?
You know, I don't know. I maybe have forgotten some of it, but I was like 30 years old. I, you know, was young, and I was just on the duty at hand, and
right.
And so it really wasn't. It was mostly happy because they were so happy to be going home. They didn't dwell on what had happened.
Right. So for you, what was a super emotional moment for you during the trip?
Well, one in particular was this young man that I had taken care of. We were flying into Philadelphia, and he was on the bulkhead on the side, and he had numerous injuries, and you just really couldn't. They were on a stretcher, you know, just a stretcher with a 1-inch mattress, and he had been on that since Japan.
Wow.
And we would try to, you know, give him back rubs and make him more comfortable. So when we got to Philadelphia and we were deplaning out the back, we nurses were kind of all over with the getting the tubes and everything set to the patients that were leaving. But I wanted particularly to say goodbye to this kid. And I went running back there and I said, oh, you're home. You're home. He says, thanks a lot. I sure did enjoy it. Yeah, he was in misery the whole time. And that was, you know, 16, 18 hours.
Wow.
But it was just a big smile and thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. What were a couple of other moments during the trip in D.C.? That'll start with Donna. For you, that was extra special.
You mean on the honor flight?
Yeah, on the honor flight.
You know, I think I really, really, in our last day, we stopped at Fort McHenry in Baltimore, and I didn't know enough history there. I knew that Francis, I believe it was Scott Keyes, wrote the Star Spangled Banner, but I didn't really realize that he wrote it from a warring ship there in the harbor at Baltimore. And it was a beautiful day, and we had a really good tour of the area. And it was, that to me, that was very emotional because I get the chills every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner.
Sure. Just adds that extra layer of depth.
Yep.
How about for you? Any other moments that stand out for you?
I think the change in the guard at Arlington was just fantastic. And they did it. They moved us right around to the back where people normally don't get to. So the change of the guard was went like about 4 foot away from me. And when he flipped the rifle, it was right at me. But they're so emotional. And then one of the guards, they wanted to salute the veterans, but they couldn't. So what they did is they dragged their foot, and you'd hear them drag their foot, and that was the salute.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing.
I just wanted to be sure listeners know that this honor flight is not, it's all volunteer money, all donations. It's not funded by the government.
Right.
And we paid for our guardians, since they were two children. We paid for them to go with us.
Yeah, if you're a guardian, you have to pay your own way.
Yeah.
So it's not, there's not some big nonprofit that's paying for all this kind of stuff. It really is a truly veteran, volunteer kind
Absolutely.
Of effort.
It's 100% volunteer.
And I did check, and it did start nationally in 05, and then it started here in Southern Arizona about 2010 or 2011.
So, Matt Neely, you took your dad on this thing.
Yes, sir.
How was that? So I know there was a lot of special moments. What was the, what was an overwhelming moment? Like, you're like, this is why we're here.
2019, Ken hit upon this a few minutes ago. And so logistically, it's a major operation. And as Ken and Donna both alluded to, they actually prefer people that the veterans go in wheelchairs, because it's a lot, you're covering a lot of ground. So because of that, I got to kind of see it through my dad's eyes, right? Because I'm pushing him and I see what he sees.
Yep.
And all over the district. So we went in the spring, and I don't know how it was for you two around Veterans Day, but there were a lot of school-aged children there. And you could tell they were there on buses. They were there on organized trips. At the same time, with Arlington, I remember seeing a lot of them around the Vietnam and Korea memorials. And seeing all of these kids stop and say thank you to the veterans. And these are young kids. And it was really neat to me to think that the schools are instilling that sense of gratitude in young people. That was a really good thing to see.
I bet.
And when we got back to, we were, as Ken said, we were greeted at the Baltimore airport. The terminal was lined with people. We went to and from San Diego, because that's where my folks lived in Southern Arizona. And and the San Diego airport, the same, when we got back, oh goodness. I mean, it was crazy. It was like bedlam. We got off the plane and came down. Once we got through security, it was just crazy. It was probably 2,000 people in the terminal. But to me, seeing the young kids, stopping and thanking the veterans, and the fact that, you know, some teachers are smart enough or wise enough to impart that to young people, as they grow up, they'll share that.
Yeah, that gratitude. Moment you think, these damn kids, right? They go to these commie schools and whatever, and then all of a sudden, you get that sense of, they're like, thank you for doing what you did.
And logistically, it is just, again, Ken and Donna talked about it, but logistically, the Honor Flight organization leaves nothing to chance. Everything is taken care of. Every eventuality is planned for. It's just, logistically, it is an amazing undertaking what they do. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like each of us veterans, I brought mine. We have a name tag that they give us that has your name on the front and says veteran. And then on the back, it lists the team leads and their phone numbers. And there's a medical person on each flight also.
Love it. All right, let's go to bottom of the hour news. We're going to have another segment with Ken and Donna Cousineau talking about Honor Flight this past Veterans Day weekend. And we'll definitely get to their welcome home when they got to Tucson International Airport. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 8:34 in the morning. Couple more segments left to the old Wake Up Tucson show. We're hanging out with Ken and Donna Cousineau, and they just experienced an amazing honor flight over Veterans Day weekend, and our good friend Margo Susco was part of that also. Let's go to Roberta from Pflugerville, Texas. Roberta, good morning. You're on with the Cousineaus.
Good morning. I had the opportunity 3 years ago to take my 93-year-old World War II father on the honor flight, and when I all was said and done, I asked him what his favorite part of it was, and he really enjoyed the last mail call. That's what they called it. And I had, prior to the going, I had put on Facebook and asked my friends if they, you know, felt it in their heart to send him cards. And I got, must have got 100 different cards. And so he read each and every one of those cards. And then he also said, coming in and having all those people cheer him on. There must have been 1,000 people in the Tucson airport cheering him on as they came in was real special to him. But what an experience. It was just lovely.
We had the same thing on the airplane coming back from Baltimore to Tucson. We had mail call, and being overseas and getting mail was something special. And so each of us veterans got a package full of mail. It was just phenomenal. I agree with your dad. And then when we got to the Tucson airport, at least 300 people and little kids, everybody, it was amazing. People thanking us rather than saying we were bad like they did when in the 70s.
What was nice about it is the media was there also. So they had put it on all three stations of the news that night. And I was glad that they did that.
And they were there with us also. Then we had our friends show up.
Matt and Kelly were there.
And Betsy and...
Gloria.
Gloria?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty tear-jerking to see that. And it was really, really fun. And appreciate your sharing with your experience with your father. It's just like what we experienced.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Roberta, have a great day. 790-2040. Yes, Matthew.
I have a question. Is there anything at any one of the monuments or anything during the course of the trip that reminded you of something that that you ended up sharing with your children as, you know, a story that maybe you hadn't told before, or anything that kind of triggered a memory that you hadn't thought about that you were able to talk about with your kids on the trip?
Yes. When I got to the Air Force display memorial, I saw the names of people that I knew that were on that wall there. And I was telling my kids that I worked with this person and these people, and it was just amazing.
Actually, I didn't ask you, Ken. What was your duties in the Air Force?
I was in logistics. I started out as a B-47 crew chief. I was the enlisted. I made E-9. I was the top rank you could get in enlisted in my 20 years of service. But I was B-47s, and then we went to B-52s, and that's what I was with when I was overseas.
Gotcha. Okay. How about you, Donna? Any?
Well, I think the Vietnam Wall. I've seen it before, and I've seen the replicas, but it really just brings things home. And the ones I knew was they were having a C-141 Operation Baby Lift, and that plane went down, and three of the medical people that were on that were killed. And, of course, that was attributed in Vietnam. So their names are on the wall, and that's just very special.
And Donna is on the wall in the Women's Memorial. When it was erected, I sent her name and information in, and her name is there. And if you're ever there, you just type in her name, and it comes up and tells you all about her. And it's on one of the walls as you walk through the facility.
So Ken, I want you to brag on your wife a little bit. she's a very humble lady. Tell us about the wonderful things your wife did in the military.
She took care of everybody. In fact, one of the patients that she told me about, they were flying back, and he said, "Ma'am, my leg is itching something fierce. Can you itch it for me?" And because he couldn't reach it, and she itched it, and he said, "Oh, that feels so good." Well, he never had a leg. It was gone.
Wow. Wow.
But, you know, it was still all positive. I mean, they were going home. They were strong young men. And it was not negative. And I didn't have a negative experience. But I know when we would have to deadhead back to Japan from the States after our flight, we did fly in civilian clothes because of the the temperature sometimes of things. So, but I think people still, I know some of them knew because we had some of our equipment that we had to carry that couldn't be checked. And the stewardesses and those people realized we were medical crews. But I don't know if any of you listeners can think back to the negativism that was in the country at that time, and it was hurtful.
Yeah.
Was it tough to go on those deadheads back?
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't that bad. We all carried, you know, we didn't have computers and things to work like you have now to pass the time. We all had
my thing is tough going, just going back after you came to the States.
No, I didn't have any thoughts. It was, I was happy to be there.
Gotcha.
Because she knew she was going to bring them back home, and that was what was important.
Yeah. What the hard ones were sometimes when on our, because it was a military flight back, and sometimes we had young men that were going back over there to fight.
Right.
And that was sometimes kind of hard because they knew we were medics and they knew maybe we would be taking them back later on. So that was different thoughts there. But, you know, when you're 30 years old, you're more, I don't know, you're more upbeat. It really didn't bother me. I was just glad to be taking care of them and doing what needed to be done.
So in TV and movies, the military nurse business, especially MASH or China Beach and these different shows, what's the part of those shows that made no sense to you, that it was pure Hollywood and not reality?
Well, the way they were dressed and, you know. Ken loves to watch the old May shows. I'm not interested in them. But
I wonder why.
But, you know, it has a place, I guess. But, you know, they're mostly, you know, pretty dramatic and not too realistic.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, again, you guys had a flight of a lifetime with your family. And you got to revisit some memories, a variety of type of memories.
Yeah.
And kind of a good closure thing, right? Is that?
Yes.
That's
very much.
Very much.
Yeah.
I will not forget the homecoming in Tucson with those kids out there, little boys and gals just waving the flag for us. That was amazing.
And several in their scout uniforms. Yeah. You know, it was just really sweet. And we did exit on wheelchairs just because I have a few ambulation problems. And, you know, it was just really, really great.
And besides that, we wanted the kids to push us in a wheelchair.
The other thing that's always fascinating, and again, sad to say it didn't happen for vets of Vietnam, but the Korean War vets, and when they run into someone who's from South Korea, and you watch the devotion and the gratitude of those people,
yes,
that's off the wall.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
They really have taught their children well in South Korea on their gratitude for U.S.
Absolutely.
Soldiers and personnel mm-hmm. who did what they did and mm-hmm. gave so much blood, sweat, and treasure for. So, good to see. Let's go to the aforementioned Tia Gloria on line 47. Gloria, what's up, woman?
Hi there, Mr. and Mrs. Cousineau.
Hi, Gloria.
Sorry. Hi. I was there. You know, I still am excited that I was there. And when we saw Margot and when we saw you both, it was... I was crying. I didn't know. Well, I did because I've been to one before, but there was so much emotion.
There was, and it was an honor to have you all there.
Thank you. And I said, welcome home to one of the Vietnam vets. And then I teared up, and he walked over, and he hugged me, and he said, it means so much for you to say that. My brother was a medic in Vietnam. With the Army, and you were in the Air Force, Donna, and did Air Force and Army work together?
Oh, for sure. The Air Force, we had a few smaller hospitals and everything there, but we were the one that did all the flights, and I will tell you that it wasn't unusual to have three of the C-141s take flights out of Vietnam, And they had usually with ambulatory and litter, we'd have maybe 80 patients on each one, but we would maybe take three a day out of there. And so it was a very busy time. And those young men were so glad to be going home, even though some of them were very, very badly injured. It was remarkable.
Yeah, my brother says they were all so thankful. And he said you had a lot of times not even enough, especially out in the field, you know, not enough to do for them, not enough materials and so forth. But he said whatever you did, they were so thankful for you.
Absolutely.
My heart goes out to both of you. My thanks and my admiration. I've always admired you, but more so knowing this about you now.
Thank you, Gloria.
Thanks for the beautiful call, young lady.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Before we say goodbye to you nice people, it's time for the question. Locally owned restaurants, the Cousineaux's like to hit on a semi-regular basis.
I like Cappy's and Firebird.
What do you get at Cappy's?
I go there on Monday so I can get their wings and tacos. Or Friday so you get the fish.
We used to go there with my dad years ago for the pastrami sandwiches.
Oh.
Used to be pretty good at Cappy's.
We'll have to try that.
So, no, I haven't had one in 17 years, so okay. It could be total dog leather. So, what about you, Donna? What do you like to go?
I like to go to, gosh, I'm having a blank.
Mexican place.
You hear me ask these questions all
I know,
the time, and then
I think I even wrote it down.
Yeah.
But now I can't find
That's my prepared Air Force colonel.
Where's the agenda?
On the itinerary.
Oh, he has it.
Oh.
It's on the other side.
Okay. El Charro and Millie's.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I was prepared.
I haven't been to Millie's in a long time. What are you getting at Millie's? What do you like there?
Pancakes. Breakfast.
Okay.
It's very good. And they moved. They had to move across the street. But it's still pretty well, a lot of people there. It's very good. Same quality stuff.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys are the best. Love you guys. Keep up the good. Oh, Matt Neely. Yes, sir.
And just to let the listener know, Honor Flight is made possible by donations. And veterans are taking on the trip. Not a penny out of their pocket.
Absolutely.
Chartered flight. Accommodations, meals, bus transfer, lunches, everything. And you can help Honor Flight of Southern Arizona take more veterans on their Honor Flight by donating at honorflightsaz.org. That's honorflightsaz.org.
It's something where everything is totally volunteer. It's all done for the best of reasons. No one's getting rich doing this at all. Everyone's going out of pocket to do the right thing for our veterans. So,
yeah, and that's absolutely true. I bought a little one service bottle of wine at the hotel one evening, and I bought a T-shirt. That was the only money I spent.
Wow. Well, Betsy's proud of you. Bought wine. So, sorry, Bets. All right.
I didn't bring anything back for anybody.
We drank the wine.
Well, thank you for your service to this country, and thanks for being part of the Wake Up Universe, and congratulations. Thanks. Have an amazing Christmas and New Year.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you, Chris.
And you guys keep up the great work as always.
We'll try.
All right. Ken and Donna Cousineaux. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Matt, Bill just sent out the... we have a worldview update, believe it or not.
I saw that.
I love when we say worldview, we just laugh.
400 employees?
No one even close. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Oh, there they are. Finishing up with a little of the Durannies. You're on Wake Up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Boy, that was fun, wasn't it?
Just walk away feeling better about the world and America and
yeah.
Humanity, hanging out with those two. Thanks for Betsy for helping put that together, too. That was awesome. All right, we got worldview. You know, we used to make so much hay. Give me a what happened, too. I know you guys, this is Dave Wickner.
Wickner. Wait then.
Will Wickner. I know you guys are going to be in shock. Worldview drops its deal to go public. Worldview and Los Angeles-based Leo Holdings 2 Corp. signed a termination agreement, according to documents filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. They're a SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company, set up to solely to acquire privately owned companies and take their stock public. So when Billy set this out, he did highlight one of the key phrases. Because companies like this are set up to solely acquire privately owned companies and take their stock public while avoiding the more rigorous process of a traditional IPO. In a joint statement, the company said Worldview garnered strong interest, 0.0.
0.0.
Sorry, I mean, zero. Garnered strong interest from potential investors since announcing the initial merger agreement. However, given the challenging market conditions, Worldview and Leo jointly determined that it was the best course of action at this time not to proceed with their previously announced transaction. Is anyone in shock here? Is anyone in shock? I just want to know this. Strong economic headwinds. But here's the best part. Guess how many full-time employees they say they have at... They've maintained its workforce of at least 90 full-time employees. So I did go back to loser Dylan Smith, did the story on February 21st of 2019, talking about what was the... the projected, according to Huckleberry and the Worldview losers and all of these people, John Moffitt, a genius in economic development. I think that's what Chuck's like. Yeah, he's the top guy in economic development. Excuse me, I'm giggling. So they were supposed to have so this is every year since 2016, the amount of jobs they were supposed to have.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
24. In 17, they were supposed to have 131. Then 298 in 2018, 342 in 2019, and then in 2020 and 2021, 448 employees. Now, let me ask you a question, Matt. Is 90 the same as 448? I could see Zach, you know, getting some kombucha out of his beard, right? And then off of his bow tie. Gee willikers, I thought we were supposed to be the space capital of the U.S. of the Southwest. And remember, we also learned last year that the building was never big enough to have that many employees in the first place. And what about all that, we gave them all that free taxpayer money during COVID so they could make giant condoms for people to walk around
what
in?
Happened?
What's going on with that building on Tool that was supposed to hold all those vaccines and PPE?
0.0.
So was the 90 part, having 90 employee minimum, was that changed in the deal? So think about this. Even in the Dylan Smith piece from four years ago, far from the projected 400, the company had less than 100 in 2019.
Well, and you also wonder what was the promised annual average salary and what is the current average annual salary?
Oh, that's true.
Because that would be a double whammy, as they say. That would be a quantity variance and a rate variance, as they say.
So when you talk about, like, you want another bit of Sharon Bronson's legacy? Worldview. Remember, because she made, I'm the economic development supervisor. That's what I am. Not so much.
You're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people, and I'm going home, and I'm going to bite my pillow is what I'm going to do.
Matt at BustosMedia.com. Worldview, you suck then, you suck 2 years later, and you really suck now. And it's funny, none of the local press can come out against them. Right? Maybe Dylan a little bit, but where's Stellar? Where's he? You know, I'm sure he thought, well, this is a pretty good idea. Where are you guys? All right, tomorrow, Schweikert. Congressman Schweikert, Congressman Andy Biggs, Tucson Boys Chorus. Friday, Fatima will be here celebrating the 14th year of Inca's Peruvian. We have Mark Van Nostrand. Mark Van Buren will be here giving you 10 Christmas movies that you should be watching that maybe you haven't been watching. And then we have other humans. Oh, John Post will be here. Marana Pumpkin Patch, Christmas Express. So it's going to be amazingly festive as hell on Friday. That's what I'm saying. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow.